The reading is from John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord away, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked the woman, "Why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked the woman, "Why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell him, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
So this is at the point of the service where it could start to get interesting, because I want you to come and share. I've not asked any of you to come up here and actually say anything, so I don't know if anybody will, or if there will be lots of you. And right now, this is where most of you will start looking at your shoes, get very interested in your socks. But for some of you, you know that actually you need to come up and share something of what Easter means to you. I'm just going to go and get the microphone and wait in faith for somebody to come. It's the man with the quiet trousers on. Hey, come on, we need a round of applause for those trousers. And just explain them to us, would you?
Well, actually, Pete Turner and I used to wear this type of trousers to BX and other, some of the other youth clubs that we ran a long time ago. And actually, the old ones wore out, as you can imagine. I actually bought these about 10 years ago when I last went to Greenbelt. And I just thought, along with this, something to brighten the day.
Wonderful.
Okay, my story is that actually my life is quite tightly knit to Easter. I was born on Good Friday. I won't tell you how long ago. A few people know. And over the years, I've had birthdays on Easter Day, on Good Friday, occasionally Easter Saturday, and then sometimes quite a lot later or quite a lot earlier than Easter. However, I was born into a Christian family. My father was an Anglican clergyman, and I went to church every week, probably twice a Sunday, once I got that much older. My mum reckoned I gave my life to the Lord when I was 3, but I don't know. I don't remember doing that. But I was sat in, I can't remember whether it was a Good Friday service or an Easter Sunday service. But I knew there was something not quite right with my life. And what really brought it home was actually that the rector of the church actually looked at me and then pointed at me. Or at least that's what it felt like. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but the fact that he pointed at me in my mind and looked at me, that's the missing link. That's where things haven't quite worked. And I wasn't planning to get up and say anything, but it just occurred to me that there may be people here, there may be people watching, who are just on the brink. And hopefully, by being reminded that the Lord cares for us, you will actually be able to go from one side of the brink to the other.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much. Thank you, Anne. Come on up, Jan.
Hello, my name is Jan. I was born a long time ago in a little mining village up in the valleys. And those were so different days. You know, there were no distractions, no telly, no tech and things. So as a child, you know, it was just we went out and played. And they were great days, playing on the mountains, playing all sorts of games in our own little world. But one of the things I was aware of, like Andy, from a very early age, was this man called Jesus. And he came into my heart because, I don't know, he was there. And I loved his stories. I loved listening to stories of Jesus. He was the man. And as I got older, I became a Sunday school teacher. I also learned to play the piano. And so played the piano at Sunday school. And I just so enjoyed it. As I got older again, I got married and had children. I used to do children's work, and wow, did we have fun with these stories of Jesus and Jesus from the Bible. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And then I suppose I was lucky in a sense that it was until possibly in my late 30s that all sorts of things started going wrong in my life. Real big tragedies, traumas, and I mean every part of my life. In my family, in the workplace, in my social, and I had some really good social circle up in Derby where we lived for 40 years. But worst of all, it was in my church. And I was devastated. And God has blessed me with putting some really wonderful Christians in my way. And it was one of these wonderful Christians who told me who gave me this concept of spiritual attack. And can I say, spiritual attack it was. And it went on for a couple of years. And it was during that time that I really, really started to sort of really think, oh God, can you help me? I really don't know how I'm going to grow out of this. It's all sorts of terrible things. And up until that point, I think I'd always wondered about why people said, Jesus, my Lord and Saviour. I'd never ever thought about that because Jesus was my friend. I just loved learning about him and things like that. And so it was at that time that I decided I was going to pursue this. And it started here in Tabs when I went on the Walk of Witness one Good Friday. And I decided to really get into what Good Friday, Holy Week was all about. And you see, being a teacher, the thing that sort of first hit me in the face was, good grief, there's this man in human form and he's still teaching us up until the day he dies about what the truth is, what the way is, and what is the life. And Yeah. So, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My Lord and Saviour, you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you, Jen.
I think that covers that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Lika. Yeah, brother.
I want to say, everyone, we're having a nice day. I will go say, Happy Easter. Hallelujah. And God bless you, William. Have a nice Easter. God bless you.
I get the privilege of worshipping God next to this man every Sunday. And I look out for him on a Sunday morning because I tell you what, he enriches my life so much. Thank you. Sarah, did you have your hand up?
Hello, I'm Sarah, and most of you know me. I just wanted to share, I was brought up, my mother was not a Christian. Her mum and dad were, and he was an Anglican minister. So Easter was a very special time because Grandpa got out his special robes, and they were glorious. And I remember as a child going into the church and seeing it decorated and thinking just how wonderful it was. But it didn't really touch me in any personal way. What touched me was my granny and her best friend, Jesus. And she talked about this man, and I was like, where is he? It's like it's all around. It's like, she was like somebody that she talked to every day, and it stuck with me until I got older. And one day, fabulous day, I met a born-again Christian when I was traveling as a trainee manager, and she introduced me as an adult to Jesus, and I've never looked back. My one regret is I have not brought my family with me. You are my Christian family, but my home family do not believe. My children did come to Sunday school, and my husband is very gracious about my faith, and he knows how much it means to me. He does not believe. But what I said to him, and I've said to my children, I say to all of you who have not made that commitment, I've heard so many stories and testimonies about when people turn to Jesus in their darkest hour, because sometimes we just realize we get them to the end of ourselves, and that's when Jesus really stands in for us and he helps support us, and that's when we really know that he's there. But why wait? Why not start living with Jesus now?
Amen.
Amen. Open your eyes to the beauty of the world around us, yeah. To the kindness of strangers. Start living that heaven life now. Don't wait to the end when you have to turn around in extremity, because Jesus loves us so much. Right now, you can make that commitment.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm tempted to say, preach it, sister, preach it. What a powerful test. These have been such powerful testimonies, haven't they? Anybody else want to share?
Hello, everyone. So I think it's been many years since I first came to this church. I think I probably recognise about half the people in the room and half the people are completely new to me, but I've been here for a lot longer than a lot of you. I think I first started coming here in 1990, I think it was.
Right.
It was in this baptismal pool here where I decided I wanted to get baptised. I think I was 15 years old in 2004. And there's one thing that I hadn't quite fully realised as I went into the waters of baptism and out again, is what difference that would then make to my life. And I think it was about a year later when the youth were all away at a summer club called Soul Survivor at the time. And I remember praying after one of the meetings, and I suddenly got hit with the feeling that my entire life had been selfish up until that point. And I'd never really stopped to think about that before, that like, the good that I could be doing in the world, I was leaving undone. And I was in lots of tears at the time, and I left that meeting with so much joy, because why Jesus had to die for me on Easter suddenly made sense to me that I hadn't ever done before. And I remember when I left the meeting filled with joy, thinking, I want to live a different way now. And the first thing I did was I went and did the washing up for other people in the kitchen tent, even though it wasn't my turn.
Good
and that
you.
Would never
Good
have happened you. Before. When we were growing up in Wales, we had fantastic domestic services at home. Did not have to lift a finger in many areas of growing up, which I'm very grateful for still. Romans says that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so also we may live new lives. And so I want to encourage any of you who've been thinking about what does it mean, either when I got baptized or do I want to get baptized, that the new life Jesus has on offer for you is so much better than the old one. It's not just for your own salvation. You're here to be a blessing to the whole world.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Oriel.
I'm not going up the stairs because I might fall over. I'm 83. I've been a Christian since I was 7. I wasn't intending to come up here today. But the reason I've come to church today, because I haven't been for a little while, is because I had a cancer scare again. I've had cancer before, but the reason I came this morning was to thank the Lord because I had a cancer scare again. And when I went to see the doctor this week, he told me it wasn't cancer. So I praise the Lord for that. And I haven't worn out yet, but I'm still working for the Lord. And I still have a testimony to give. And I think for lots of us as Christians, it's a daily testimony that we walk with the Lord in his strength, not our own strength, because we're a bit weak, really. And so we thank the Lord that we can go on trusting him, knowing that our life is bound up with his and our life is going to be eternal. Amen.
Thank you, Oriel. So pleased about that news as well, Oriel. Hello, Bethan.
Creep up behind you. I kind of don't want to share this, but I feel it's a duty as a Christian to share testimony, so I will share it. 9 years ago, I had a pregnancy that I was told that the baby... This is why I don't like it. So I was told the baby had a hole in its heart and probably may live and may die. And so for 2 weeks we were rushing around the country doing our home assignment because we were missionaries from Uganda at the time. And I listened to the Rend Collect. Do you know that band? So that's full of theology and full of life and joy. And I spent 2 weeks in Jesus' arms. And thank you. And I kind of gave this situation to him. If the baby dies, if the baby lives, whatever. But the baby, if it would have lived, would have needed surgery, like straight away. And I would have quit my job and life would have been so different. So then this is the point. On Easter Sunday at our old church in Cambridge, it was much like this. We were worshipping and balloons had dropped down from up high. And as I was singing, I don't know if I've even told Gareth this, but I felt a jolt in my womb. And it was so bizarre. And I suddenly felt, well, I was sort of just filled with joy and filled with a sort of sense that things were okay. And 2 days later, I went and found out that the baby had died. And again, it was, obviously I was sad, but equally, I know that that's the resurrection and that was my baby's in heaven. And yeah, I was praying the whole time and it brought me so close to God during those times. And I can with joy now say that I have a baby waiting for us in heaven to see, but equally, you know, there's still the sadness. No, they're not here. But the resurrection is here. And I'm kind of glad that the baby didn't have to go through all that surgery and the difficulties of life, and he's gone straight up to live with God. So this isn't me, this is Phoebe's testimony that I've just spotted her writing in the corner. I try and hold it together, but it's not going to be easy. Many of you know we've had a tricky year and our little girl hasn't been very well. But she's just written this. I love God. So today I'd like to say thank you for keeping me well. And thank you for being with me, love, Phoebe.
Sister.
It wasn't for my platform to be here today because we still need to finish the unfinished business. But sometimes when God speaks, you cannot hold it back. So many testimonies with tears. But don't forget, he said, count it joy when you go through tribulations. We died with Christ. We walk with him. If I will tell you my stories, you would run. But I'm glad because Jesus was born in Africa. So we were blessed. And we took his gospel to you guys. Or you came and joined us to be with Jesus. What I will tell you, Pastor, you spoke of families who lost loved ones. It is hard. How do you explain to somebody like me who has lost 3 family members within 12 months? What makes you to wake up and think, God, why am I going through this? I'm telling you guys that whatever you go through, lift your eyes and let your knees know the floor. I know Denzel Washington says, put your shoes way under the bed, that when you wake up, you will give thanks to God. I wasn't given into this life. I think this is just the beginning. You will see most of me taking over from Pastor Dave. Sometimes God would whip you up and down. You look right, you look left. You might not see light, but it is only because you haven't answered his call. And I think it is time for my call to be answered. Because he has built me so much in faith. He has battered me. He has made me a testimony. I will not give so much testimonies, but I will wait for the right time until the business is finished. We will go through each of my testimonies and things I have gone through in life. Then you will understand that there is no psychologist more than Jesus. There is no doctor more than Jesus. If you hold on to him, I remember the last word he gave me when I was in church here. He said, whatever you go through, let your eyes be on Jesus. Is it a baby that has gone to heaven? Is it my mom? Is it my nephews? What is it with you? God is asking you today, do not look at what is battering you. Is it wind trying to take chaff? Brothers and sisters, let us build our faith. And as we are together, united in Christ, he said he came to make us to be the righteous ones with him, but it was through his blood. If I may ask any parent, would you give your son, your daughter for your life? No. People will run. But God stood there waiting for us to be sinners. And he still loved us, for God so loved the world. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that let us be keepers of each other, because you don't know what people are going through. Let us love. Let us be there for one another. Jesus Christ cried when he came back to his disciples. They were sleeping. He said, your body is willing, but the spirit is tired. When my spirit is tired, wake me up. When a sister is crying for a baby, pray for that sister. And I pray for you, my sister. I say, let your womb be open. Let that baby that you wish for, you have prayed for, I stretch my hand and I give you what you want. God says, it is well with you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
So some of you will know me and some of you will be thinking, who on earth is this strange woman that I've never seen before? My name is Elle. I am the daughter of two of the people up there on the stage. Dad is the worship leader and Mum is singing. Even the people that know me haven't seen me for quite a while. Mummy, I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. Okay, I got the dreaded poke. You know, sometimes you sit there and you stand there and you just think, there's nothing that I really need to say. There's nothing that the Lord wants to use me for this morning. And I got the nudge, which is, I don't always like the feeling. And I think the feeling that is sometimes even worse is when the enemy comes along and tries to stop you from listening to the Lord, which is what's happening this morning. I haven't shared in a very long time. I don't think I've ever been so nervous to share, because I know that what I'm about to say will surprise a lot of people. I used to be a worship leader at this church. I stood at the front. I led a lot of you week after week. And that person, she has had a very rough couple of years. There has been a lot that has gone on behind the scenes. We've gone through a lot as a family. I've gone through a lot personally. And it has certainly taken its toll. And I've not leaned on God perhaps as much as I should. Instead, it's just sort of been constantly questioning, why? God, why? Why is it one thing after another? God, why are you giving me all of this? You tell me that you won't give me more than I can handle, but God, I'm at breaking point. I can't do this. I cannot do this anymore, Lord. And so I think, well, actually, I don't think I know. several times, instead of leaning on God and saying, okay, I feel like I can't handle this, but I'm going to give it to you, I said, God, I'm done. I'm done. I feel like you're not here. I feel like you're not listening, and I'm done with it. I'm walking away. And so right now I'm kind of in this in-between stage of not knowing where the heck I stand, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to that feeling, whether you are close with the Lord or not. You know, sometimes you reach that point of what's next? It just feels like there's a giant question mark in front of you. God, give me the words, because I don't know where I'm going with this. but I think the last week, I've kind of, Christmas came and went, and I was like, oh, it's lovely, pretty lights, presents under the tree, spending time with family. The actual meaning of Christmas kind of went straight over my head. I was like, I can't be bothered with this. I really don't want to know. And then Holy Week started, and I was like, okay, well, do I want to give this some effort? Can I be bothered to, like, actually, you know, do what I should do this week and pray and read the word? And I won't lie to you all, because, well, we are in a church. I didn't. I've spent this week not really spending time with God. But hearing everybody's testimonies and coming in this morning and being just actually spending time worshiping, I've realized that God has been poking me all week with this feeling of, even though you have turned your back on me, I have not turned my back on you. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. And I think the biggest thing is that the Lord has said, I will wait for you, which is a big thing for me. I don't trust people. This is a really bad thing for me to say. I don't like people. Let me clarify though, because I do like people. I find it hard to trust people. I've been, you know, a lot of things have happened with people. I struggle to open up. And so the fact that God is consistently saying to me, I'm waiting for you. I haven't left you. I'm still here. I just want to reassure anyone this morning that if you are also in that boat of not feeling close with God and not knowing where to begin, not knowing how to start making your way back to God, just take reassurance that He is waiting for you.
Thank you.
He will always wait for you, no matter how long it takes. Just because you have strayed away from God doesn't mean that He's strayed away from you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I feel my heart pounding and the Spirit prompted me that I needed to share this word. And as that cross came up, there was one word that stood out, and it was fear. I didn't come from a Christian background, but I grew up in fear. So much so that I couldn't even go to school. I would run home because of fear. It was fear of death mostly, because that's all that seemed to be talked about at home. When I used to question it, I was told, don't be so stupid. And so I struggled. And I knew about Jesus from school. And then I went to the Salvation Army and I got involved there. But I was still fearful. Every day I lived in fear. I couldn't even come up to the town without having a panic attack. I was just living in fear. But God, but God. But when I come to know Jesus, He delivered me from all my fears. But just because I was delivered from those fears, the things that have happened in life have still been fearful. But God. Now that lad that was stood here reading is my younger son, who has a form of autism. And he was told at 16, he will not achieve at A level. But God. He got a 2 and honours degree and he now works in a high position in the NHS. But God. When my marriage ended, 3 weeks in the house, nowhere to live, but God provided in a miraculous way. And because of Christ's death and resurrection, all fear is gone. And there's one verse of a song that says, no fear in death, no fear in life. This is the power of Christ in me. And I'll tell you now, the one thing that you need to do if you haven't given your life to God is to do that. But to talk with Him. Yeah. It's in prayer when we come to Him, He meets us. Even when we feel like our prayers are going to the ceiling, He's still there. He is still there. And there is one lady in this church that I would like to say thank you to. And that's Margaret Griffiths for the influence that she had in my son's life. Growing up, and today he loves the Lord. Pray for those that do not know the Lord, especially in our families. But whatever situation, if Jesus can conquer the grave and rise from the dead, He can do anything, and we can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. But nothing is too difficult for God, and I just praise Him that He delivered me from all my fears. And I know that whatever I face, He is there and He will bring me through. So be encouraged that God can do anything if we just trust him. Amen.
Father, thank you for the wonder and the power of resurrection. We thank you that we serve and worship the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives and what you want to continue to do. Thank you that you want to bring us into freedom. Lord, the words in your vocabulary include healing and hope. And so, Father, we pray that we might increasingly experience your healing and hope this week. Father, as we were praying earlier in the service, there will be people in our service today whose hearts are so hurting. Help us as their wider family to put our arms around them. But Father, may they know your comfort and your nearness. So Lord, bless your people. Thank you for each and every person here and for the families that we represent. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.